It's so important for so much work to be done in the blindness field. I love to see people working together and making other great things happen. And to that end, something I've never seen in the 30 plus years I've been coming to CCV conventions, and that is that we're going to do something called A Tale of Two Presidents. And I'll throw it to Rob to introduce our first president.
What can I say about Gabe?
Don't say anything.
I'll stop. Yeah. Stop. Sarah says she can take the mic. But no, it's a pleasure to have known Gabe since he got involved in the California Council of the Blind as a student. Is that more than 20 years, Gabe, or is it?
Yeah, it's probably been 22 or 3 years now.
Okay. And Gabe, he came, as we all know, he got super involved, and he became involved in our resolutions committee. He served as the secretary. I'm sure he served on the board. He's just really an active participant as our president. And of course, we all need to know that he's a big sports fan. You know, that's real important. And of course, he's had been working at Humanware for 15 years, I believe. And of course, now he's got a new job at the Lighthouse. Let's hear it for that. But anyway, I don't really think I need to say a heck of a lot about Gabe. It's just, you know, we're going to just leave it at that and turn the mic over to Steve.
And our second president, I met, I guess, 4 years ago now, maybe something like that. We were involved with some issues with the state of California regarding their reservation park system. That's a whole other matter. But Tim Elder has served as the elected president of the National Federation of the Blind. Yes. He served as the elected president of the National Federation of the Blind of California since 2018. He's an accomplished civil rights attorney and founder of the TRE legal practice based in the San Francisco Bay Area. When he's not tending to his three very active sons and his wife, Shannon, he cannot be found making music in his recording studio. So, Tim Elder, welcome to CCB.
Thank you. Thank you. Very excited to be here. Thank you all.
All right. Well, folks, thank you. And Tim, I think this is a second of its kind event.
This is like our second date.
Yeah. Thank you. Tim and I started online dating probably about 3 years ago.
Met online.
Yep. Zoom, it was a Zoom relationship only.
True.
Yeah. And Tim invited me down south to come to their convention last fall.
And he came.
Yeah. And I survived. So, you know, I would hope that we all treat Tim as nicely here today as they treated me when I attended their convention. But it's been great, really, Tim, to get to know you a bit over these last few years. And so nice to actually get to see you in person a few times now.
I know, not on Zoom.
Right? And Tim actually rents office space at the Lighthouse. So I ran into Tim at work a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, even more benefits to having an in-person job.
Yeah, the Lighthouse is a very special place, and TRE Legal is thrilled to be a partner of the community and to be there. Instead of hanging out with lawyers, we like to hang out with actual blind people. So, we are yes, but really, thank you for letting me just come and be a part of the convention and you know, extending an invitation. I don't know, has this ever happened in the history of California? I think this is like historic or something, right?
We're breaking new grounds here, sir.
and I think it's about time.
Damn straight. So Tim, why don't you here know me way too much. So why don't you tell folks about yourself a bit?
Yeah, and I won't tell a story as long as Sharon's, but It was.
Have you talked anybody out on Bart recently?
I haven't. Although that's pretty cool. Although I hope she doesn't see him again. I was walking down Market and had someone tried to steal my white cane. And I kind of pushed him. I didn't punch him out, but I did push him a little bit.
Shared for losses.
He was as high as a kite, so it wasn't too difficult. And I kept my cane, thankfully. So you know, watch yourself out there. But thank you for the invitation. I just want to say, you know, that there is a history between NFB and ACB and the Federation and the Council, and the history is what it is. It's history. I am about blind people, and we can have organizations, we can have structure, but at the end of the day, it's about advancing the cause, collective action for blind people, and getting more opportunity for all of us.
Beautiful.
We are already an ultra minority, even within the disability community. Yes. To divide us in half makes us all the weaker to influence society. So when we can, we should work together. We should harmonize. You know, we might have philosophical disagreements or debates. I love a good debate. I'll talk with anyone respectfully and think about something with an open mind and debate on any number of issues. We can talk about anything that we might disagree on. You know, currency, great. We can have a debate about whether currency should be accessible or not. But who cares if blind people don't have any money in their pocket to buy anything, right? We could talk about APS and crossing the street. But at the end of the day, blind people need to get across the street to go where they want to go. So I think we actually have more in common than we disagree on. And since I became a member of the Federation and started getting involved with leadership, see that there's an evolution going on. Whatever our history was, we will respect it. We'll know that. But I think the blindness community, like we've always done, we're adapting, we're evolving, we're moving forward. That's what we do as blind people. We're good at it. If you ask ChatGPT the pros of being blind, they say, well, you'll have amazing powers of adaptation. I think that's true at the macro level too. We will evolve and we will figure out a way to work together to claim more power for our people and for our members, because there's a beautiful life out there to be lived. And if we can get more resources, if we can get more influence, if we can get people to actually listen to us and hear us for the voice of the community that we are, then we will truly change the world and the life of blind people. So I'm thrilled to be here and to work with Gabe and Sarah, who is also one of my very favorite people up here, and getting to know people like Steve and Gene and others. So I have found more friends in this convention than anything else. So thank you. Well, what should we start working on, Gabe?
Right. Well, let's see here. A couple of years ago when we first started chatting a bit, voting was a big issue. Mm-hmm. So we've been working together and talking about different things around voting. It's been great that Tim and first time in history for being two presidents of our organizations, of just being able to have each other's phone numbers, and when there's an issue, I feel like we can pick up the phone and call or text the other one and say, hey, we've got this issue, would you guys be willing to write a letter or to sign on to it? You guys, I think, supported our scooter bill last year, right?
Yeah. Support it. Yes, absolutely. We want to look, everyone has priorities, but if we can do something that moves the needle for blind people, like, let's do it.
Yeah. And we've signed on to a couple of your things. I think the subminimum wage deal that you guys had last year, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, One thing I said to Tim, and I think we're on the same same page with this, is like Tim said, we've had a history, but let's try to actively find places where we can work together. And if we can't find a common ground on something, then let's at least agree to stay the heck out of each other's way. You know, if they've got an issue that they're working on, then you know, let's at least have CCB not go in there in conflict with it. And same if we've got an issue that they say, you know, we just can't quite get behind that, then you know, maybe we can at least talk about it and come to a place where they're not going to be going and you know, your folks aren't going to actively be going and talking against something that we're doing. Because like Tim said, you know, we are a already a minority and we don't want to fracture ourselves further. So
I think it's interesting, like we're all kind of like also reflecting this like younger, I don't want to be ageist or anything, right? But the this generation, like you and I and Sarah and then Rachel Greider, who's the vice president of NFP of California, are kind of similarly aged and in a similar phase of life. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's interesting, you know, because the we have all these questions about, well, what is the future of collective action for blind people? Like, will the next generation really step up and care, or will they just get on social media and be completely individualized and introspective?
Right.
Yeah. I'm optimistic, but you know, there are days. But I find it interesting that we're very similarly situated in our sort of generational.
We are. That's probably a big part of why we were able to have these same attitudes and kind of be talking about this stuff and just saying it's great to know about the history. It's great to know about and understand some of those conflicts, but being able to take CCB and NFBC into a new phase of being able to have this collaboration. I love the fact that I can just pick up the phone and call you if there's something going on that we think that, hey, this would be a great spot to work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And vice versa, you know, and from my perspective as president of NFP of California, everyone here is welcome at any Federation events. We're open. I hope I'll be, you know, invited as well and come back and can be a part of council activities because we're about blind people.
Yes, sir. Hey, you and your members are all, you know, any of the folks from your guys' organization are welcome at our events anytime. You know, again, it's all about blind people and access to what we need to live our lives, right? So
indeed. And so in that spirit, I want to make a really important announcement that starting today, I'm announcing my campaign for president of the California Council of the Blind.
I fully endorse you, sir. Okay.
You know, it does happen to be April 1st. So for those who want to write the date down, that would happen.
And you had your fingers crossed, right?
You had your elections yesterday. I'm too late. Oh.
Hey, you know, never. Just about everybody, every other president in this country starts their campaign a year early. Why not you?
Well, I haven't been indicted yet, I guess.
So, do you have any other thoughts on anything you'd like to bring up on any topics, questions, thoughts?
So, first of all, I enjoy getting together with Jeff and really benefiting from his legal wisdom and his legislative experience. It's been so great. Thank you, Jeff, for everything you do. You're a longtime advocate. You know, I know you're around and you're in the background really following what's going on, but it's the community really has such a strong asset in you and your legislative activity. And I hope that, you know, we can continue to get behind you and work with the issues that you're working on. Jeff and I have been working offline on some bills and stuff, and it's great to have people with different strengths all advocating. So we, I don't know about you, but I get tired of inaccessible websites, you know.
Yeah.
You, You go to website A on Monday and it works. You go to website B on Tuesday, it doesn't work. You go back to website A on Wednesday because website B didn't work on Tuesday, and then website A's broken and it doesn't work on Wednesday.
If it ain't broken, I'll update it till it is.
Until it is, and then even if they you fix it, it'll disappear in a month, and you have to learn something completely new. So technology is rapidly increasing. If we have accessible design and it's thoughtful and it's built in from the beginning, we'll have equal access, and so much opportunity and information and convenience will be opened up. But if we just let this sit and ignore it, this is what we're going to get. We're going to get 75% access, 85% access. I'm kind of sick of it. I want 100% access.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying we need to get out there and advocate, right?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, Tim, I thank you for coming up here today. And should we open up, see if folks have any questions for us?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
All right. Let's make this a
Q&A.
Let's make
we're
this
in the room.
A
we're on Zoom
all over the place.
Somebody has a question.
I'd like to make a quick comment. I'm so pleased that this is happening. I've been a member of the blindness movement since 1970, and I've been through a lot of difficult times with these kinds of conflicts, individuals disliking one another for their allegiance. And I really do hope that as we move forward, that this collaborative spirit will continue. And I'm really happy.
I'm curious, Gabe, were you born in 1970, before 1970?
Well, unlike some people in this room, I was not 1 year old at that time.
I wasn't yet a gleam in an eye either in 1970. So both of us.
Youngsters. Hi, this is Margie Donovan. And first of all, Tim, thank you so much. And Gabe, thank you so much. Both of you are making this happen. Over the last couple of years on the national level, our presidents have been meeting too, which is such a refreshing thing. I've been a member of this organization since 1981. We have worked closely with the NFB of California before, Kathy Skivers and Jim Willows, but we have never had an NFBC president at our convention. And this is a first, and this is new history.
And hopefully the future.
And I have a fantasy that sometime in the next couple of years, we could work together on a state capitol day together. We need more blind people at the capitol. And even if we don't agree on every bill, we can find the ones we agree on and go our ways and meet with our representatives. And I'm just so excited. This is so wonderful to have the two of you up here. And yes, you guys are babies. You're real babies. Thank you. Thank you, Tim, for coming here today. Really appreciate it. I want to close by saying that we've got a pretty extensive history of working together on some bills. This is not new. During the Kathy Skivers and Jim Willows administration, we worked together. That's how we got SB 105.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's been huge. I want to acknowledge Shannon Dillon, who's on the NFBC board and a CAGDU member. She and I have worked on 3 pieces of legislation for guide dogs together. And she's a dynamic lady to work with. And I'm happy to say, with both organizations coming together, even though we were told for many years it couldn't be done, we sunset the guide dog board. And we've got trainers coming into the state from other schools, following up with our graduates. We've just got a lot. We have a lot more in the future to work on. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. And you just laid out a few different things that show what we can do when we all work together. So yeah, it should be an every year thing, not an every 22 year thing.
Right. True.
We get another question?
We have one on Zoom.
All right. Okay. Who do we have on Zoom?
Sheila Gunn-Cushman.
Sorry. First of all, Gabe, thank you for inviting Tim. Tim, thank you for coming. That's like the biggest, coolest awesomest thing that's happened to me this year. And the year, you know, just been around for a little bit, but I'm just saying. And the other thing I'm just saying is inaccessibility is evil. I don't care who, I don't care where, I don't care what. And if a website is inaccessible, then every monitor and every mouse should go away until that website is just as accessible to us as it is to them. I'm just so done. Stairs are evil, except for people who think they need the exercise that way, but we need to have options to make everything as accessible as possible. I'm tired of fighting this. I've been doing so for 40 years. And I've been an advocate for 30, but I was fighting it when I was 10. I wasn't getting Braille fast enough and yada, yada, yada. You all know the story. I was born in 71, y'all, all right? So, but thank you. That's pretty much it. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheila. Yeah, it's pretty exciting to, this being the second time that Tim and I basically, been able to be up here and share a podium, basically. So definitely hope to have this happen more in the future going forward.
And not just to be, kind of a fun thing and a symbolic thing, but to really do the work and accomplish stuff. Like, let's get a bill that makes all websites accessible.
Yeah.
I'm tired of suing people one at a time and having to start over scratch every single time. It's whack-a-mole, and we've got a systemic problem. We need a systemic solution.
Exactly. You said earlier, universal design and building in accessibility from the beginning, right? So,
and we've got such an amazing opportunity in California. We have a very smart and progressive legislature and system. We've got all kinds of technology and innovation. Like, the potential to change the world from this state is there. We need to grab more power. And really get influence. We don't have the influence that we need to have. And my sentiments exactly.
Well, and I think it can also, I feel like we're kind of batting cleanup here, because having listened to Susan talking and Sharon and Shalina and Aaron, all the organizations in the state can come together and work on stuff, not just CCB and NFB, but I think the more we can get all the organizations to back stuff, right, and make it a huge effort, then we can get more stuff accomplished.
And if we can get along and have these relationships, we can introduce people. We can get a lot more done. I'm getting to know Anita and I'm getting to know Sharon and have a connection to Lighthouse. Now Gabe has a connection to Lighthouse. Like, we're building this synergy to really get something done, I think, in California.
Yeah, and I really want to thank you too, because last fall, you're the one that facilitated meeting with Sharon G and Sharon Sachs down at down in San Diego. And I met with them. That was just about 10 days after I had applied for the job that I now have. So just being able to kind of get to know Sharon and that setting, and then now working over the Lighthouse, and you and I getting to know each other better as we go. So, like you said, it's all about relationships, and if we like each other, and it's going to make it so much easier to continue working together and to continue collaborating on stuff.
I think as we spend time with each other and realize that whatever labels we might have, we actually have more in common than we have that's different, and spending time with one another and getting to know each other, that common bond will break down those artificial labels.
And I've felt that for 20 years, that at the end of the day, we are all folks who are blind or have low vision. It doesn't matter if we're a member of CCB or NFB. We're all blind. We all need to be able to, figure out how to have access to this, that, or the other thing, or cross the streets, or figure out where our bus is. As things go and technology changes, the specific things that we need or are looking at might change, but bottom line is we still need that access. And I kind of felt like, even 15, 20 years ago, that at the end of the day, like I said, we're all folks who are blind or have low vision. So why couldn't we get along? Why couldn't we, talk more? Why couldn't the two organizations in this state and country be, collaborate more? And so it is such a pleasure and an honor to be in a position to be affecting this change. And yeah. So I'm so appreciative that you have the same feeling and that we've been able to work together to start making these things happen and make something like you and I being here today talking about this and the things that we've worked on together over the last year or two to have those happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been great to hear. Oh, there's folks had questions. Let me just quickly say, it's been great to hear everyone's stories. Like I just heard Sharon's story for the first time and thought it was a great and interesting experience. I heard Sarah's story, and I don't know if anyone has gotten a chance to get to know Sarah Harris and some of her, but I mean, like, these are amazing stories, and it's just
none of us know.
So great to know each other, but there was a question, I think.
We have one on Zoom. Oh, is there one in the audience there?
Are we in the room here first?
Once they want to issue that both organizations, I don't know how to do this, but we need to do something about the crappy paratransit service. It seems to be getting worse and worse. Agents, providers are not living up to their contracted requirements, and something really needs to be done to this. More of a statewide issue. I know it's not a statewide issue, but the state needs to get behind it and support somehow to encourage better public paratransit services.
Peter, why didn't you give us something a little bit more possible, like world peace or something?
Well, I like a challenge. And paratransit certainly is one, but I think there's possibilities if we dream about it. I mean, look, we've got problems with rideshare, certainly service animals, wheelchair accessible vehicles, other arbitrary forms of discrimination for any number of things. But man, if we could get the convenience and the reliability, even with all of its flaws, rideshare is still so much better than the traditional paratransit.
Yes.
I mean, if Uber and Lyft were giving you 30-minute arrival windows on either end, like, they'd go out of business in like a second. And like, but yet it's okay for disabled people to have to wait that long. I mean, I really think somehow getting the rideshare system plugged into paratransit and piping that convenience in, I mean, there's not, there'd have to be some tweaks.
There's a place where it's happening. So we need to just kind of facilitate that getting a little bit more widespread.
Yeah, more pilots, I mean, that's my.
Yeah. I think a few years ago, CCB had a resolution trying to call for a statewide task force to talk about this, not even necessarily to, calling for something to get done, but at least to start the discussion. And Jeff, I think, probably remembers better than I do, but we had trouble getting the state to even approve that. So I think there's definitely some stuff that can be done to that effect. Did we have a question from Zoom?
Yes, we do. We have our phone number ending in 388.
Hey, my area code.
Yes, sir, mine too. Yeah. I believe that's
this all. Is Earl. And I'm 70. Eight of those years, I've been blind, and for most of those 8 years, I've been a member of CCB. However, I would like to point out that I start every morning with my cup of coffee and NFB Newsline, for which I am eternally grateful. So, advocacy aside, that's a big thing for me. I mean, it changed my life. So thank you, NFB.
Yeah, and I think that is the spirit of the Federation is, look, Newsline is good for blind people. You don't have to be a member of NFB. It's not like something that's being used to recruit or exclusively, you know, separate people out. Like, if you're blind, you get NFB. It doesn't matter what your membership is. And I think that's in general the philosophy I'm seeing, you know, in leadership now in the Federation. So yeah. Yes, use Newsline. It's an amazing, talk about a benefit for the aging community that we were talking about earlier, right? I think,
hey, I can get my sports pages on there.
I use it. Look, I'm 43 and I use it every day as well. Yeah. Right. It's an amazing service, and we need to make it available to as many people as possible.
For sure.
This is Christy Crespin, Highland, California. And I want to just say a couple of things. Number one, it's interesting that you talk about paratransit, because I want to say, you know, in religion, I always say that we drive different vehicles, but we're going the same direction. So what I want to say is that we're using Angle Express, guide dogs, buses, canes, whatever it is that we're doing, we're all going the same direction. That is equity, equality, and opportunity for all of us who are blind and low vision. And the other thing I want to say is that I remember Kathy Skivers. It's so funny because I was able to hug Eric Skivers today, and I'm so blessed. But Kathy lives on in us. And as I hear you two together today, I remember hearing Kathy say, Jim Willows is one of my best friends.
Yeah. That's great. Hi, it's Alice Turner. And one of the things that I noticed when you folks were talking is that look at the leaders that we have now. We have Gabe, we have Tim, we have Sarah. At our elections last night, we had new people coming forward. But I got to tell you, it's really hard bringing people through into this organization, any organization, and helping to develop them to step forward and be a leader. Because someday, Gabe and Tim, you're going to be saying, too old to do this. So if we can think together, how can we work together to develop people to step up? And I don't care where you lead, NFB, CCB, anywhere, but share some of the leadership for bringing people together. If you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I think at whatever the organization, right, the organized blindness movement has a challenge. Mm-hmm. We have to inspire the next generation to understand that there's still a need for collective action. Right. I mean, we've made some really amazing accomplishments. We have the ADA. There's equal access to employment now. There's all these laws that we've passed that protect us. We've got the Chafee Amendment to the Copyright Act to give us accessible books in Marrakesh. We've got more equal access than we've ever had before. But it's not 100%. It's 75. I mean, how often do you go to a website and like, oh God, this thing is a piece of junk. Whatever. I don't want to send that email. I don't want to complain. Like if all I did, if I'd spend my entire day sending emails to support people that never responded, and I'd never get anything done. And you start to normalize this settling for good enough. And I think that's going to be a challenge. Is how do we put a fire under the next generation so that they're still willing to go for that last 15, 10%, right?
How do we convince them that good enough isn't good enough?
Right. If you've kind of internalized this, like, oh, I'm just so thankful to have what I have. Mm-hmm. You'll never dream big to go further. You'll just sort of take what you've got.
It's one of the things that I say that got me involved here is that I am so appreciative to all of those folks who did the work to get me the access that I have, that I owe that owe it to those who may not be blind yet, who may be in school now, you know, something like that, for me to do what I can to make life better for them. So, yeah, I think it's that's a tough question there, Alice, is how do we? Because as we've heard, I think it's Mitch Pomerantz has pointed out to us for years that people are not joining membership organizations in the last 5 or 10 years the way that they used to. So that's the trick of how do we get people interested and involved in the issues.
And I think though, what we can do is what we've always done as a community is we adapt and we evolve. We're going to have to change the way that we do things as a community and as a movement to reflect for the technological, the socio-technical, you know, phenomenons that are going on with this next generation. We have to embrace it.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
So get on TikTok.
Tim, this is David Mandel.
Yes,
from Glee. And I want to say something that I think is really important to understand. And some people might understand and some people might not. I'm 30 years older than you. And I have a lot to be thankful for as far as the NFB is concerned. I had role models, that Dr. Isabel L.D. Grant, who you never had the fortune to meet, unfortunately. And other people in the NFB who helped my parents. And because of them, I am where I am today. I think that whether we like it or not, and some people do and some people don't, I'm actually proud of it. I think that the CCB is stronger because the NFB has left its imprint on this affiliate. I think that we are one of the more progressive affiliates of ACB because some of us were in the NFB. And I think that we have a lot to thank you for, to be here today, to work with Gabe, to click with Gabe, and to really talk this over. And we are going to move mountains together. And thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
I also have a question. Is that all right?
Yeah, we have a question. Okay.
So I'm Ada. I come from a third world country in Europe named Kosovo. And I wanted to ask if, not if, but what is the possibilities of blind people in my country to get the access to Braille books or, honestly, the treatment people here get access for?
It was a little hard to hear you, but it sounded like the question was, you know, for people outside of the United States, yes. Blind people in particular.
Mm-hmm.
What is their what is happening to get access to books
and yes.
resources? So I think, you know, as blind people in a, you know, in a very wealthy nation, the United States, I think we do have some responsibility to look at the rest of the world and say, what are we doing to make life better for blind people, period,
mm-hmm.
which means blind people around the world. I'm on a couple WhatsApp chat groups around accessibility for different categories, and there are people in that group that are from all over the world. And once you start talking to people from all over the world, you realize how similar, you know, a lot of the issues, really are. Certainly access to books is one thing. I think that's another area where the community through the Marrakesh Treaty has said, let's try to make more books accessible to more people around the world. Get rid of the borders,
yep.
break down those borders, the artificial copyright and intellectual property restrictions. Let's just share our books because blind people need them. Yeah. And I think that while it's still being implemented, and I don't know if Kosovo is a member to the treaty or not, but it does reflect this new technologically sort of empowered world where we can share electronic books literally across the entire world,
yep.
for all blind people.
And I would think another area that, you know, to get involved would be that Maybe the World Blind Union might be another advocacy arm to look at that. You know, I know ACB has representatives there. I would assume NFB does.
Yeah.
You know, so those are other areas that that, you know, we as blind people can help advocate for, that can help reach around the world.
And I regularly see people from around the world at least the NFB convention coming in and learning and understanding the technology and the philosophy and the opportunities available for blind people here in the United States. And, you know, take some O&M and technology and, you know, start training people in a system somewhere else.
Right.
Awesome. I have one more question. I'm a volunteer here and a previous employee from the Department of Rehabilitation. And now I work for DMV and our IT department. But I hear you talking about engaging younger people to further this cause. And I'm wondering, do you guys have any idea of what that looks like and how we can further it on our end?
I wish I knew that golden answer.
Right.
I mean, that's the million dollar question, right? Like we could keep.
Can I phone a friend on that one?
I mean,
I know social media is like a big thing for us. Yeah. I know accessibility is an issue and the tech field is continuing to grow. So I would think maybe getting like a think group of people who are in tech, maybe creating some initiatives or some program funding, encouraging them to find some solutions to problems that you guys have.
I think that's right. I think,
to just, you know, encourage more engagement and then also getting more visibility as far as what is needed. Because we're a tech-driven world. You know, all of us younger ones are on our devices all the time and are also looking to get into the tech field.
I think it's, go ahead. I think there's a couple things to look at in this direction. Cause I think about this a lot. Like one is, you have to speak to them in the medium or the media that they're using. So, you know, maybe posting a YouTube video talking about an issue is part of it. I mean, I recently got to ride in a self-driving vehicle, autonomous vehicle, and thought it would be good to just make a little video of it and post that on social media and, you know, get people excited about this really new growing technology.
I am still trying to, arrange my first ride in an autonomous vehicle.
I'm going to take you, Gabe. We're going to go out. Next time I'm in the office, we'll take, because I've now got the app and can call him. Now I can't get him at the lighthouse yet, but, you know, we might have to go a couple streets down. Pick one up. I'll take you for a ride. And
hey, don't tell anybody at the lighthouse, but you know, hey, I'd be happy to disappear for an afternoon. There's nobody here that would ever take that back to anyone.
Gabe went out, gave out for lunch and got kidnapped by a self-driving car.
And I got to ride in one before Tim did. So
she did. Yes, but that's you know, ladies first. So, I think there's other ideas, you know. I think people are also very hungry for substance, right? If we can just be genuine and have fun and show the care and the real true core of our humanity in the movement, like people don't care about meetings and minutes and resolution-y whereas clauses. People care about things that affect real people in a meaningful way. So as long as we, I think, focus on the substance, right? That's timeless. That's beyond generations and it'll translate through, I think.
And I don't know where the magic intersection is, but I think, you know, finding the intersection of that topic or that issue that speaks to folks, as well as doing it in the medium that reaches them, whether it's YouTube or TikTok or whatever, or those, you know, whatever one of the other things that I'm not on and don't use. But, you know, there's others that do. So you know, being able to use those avenues and, like I said, you know, finding that issue or a couple of issues that really speaks to people to get them involved.
I think we just need Gabe doing the Macarena on TikTok and we'll be okay.
You just aged yourself right there talking.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Hey, so I'm more of an itchy, break your heart kind of guy. Yeah, all right. Did we have anyone else?
Yeah, one
yes.
Did we have another one on Zoom?
Hi, this is Linda Johnson, and I'm a marriage family therapist, and I've been doing work with, dealing with the mental health of people dealing with vision loss, as well as people that have sight, since 1988. And I will say that I do have some of my clients that are in a younger group, younger generation, and even just by me sharing my story of my journey has made a difference even in those kids' lives, you know, and they just go, wow, you did that? I go, yeah, and you can too. And how you do it, you get with people that you can connect with and you find your connecting point with them and your group and your community. And I'll tell you, I think sharing our stories somehow and making that real personal connection is very important. It's very inspiring. That's all I have to say.
Very
thanks
true.
For it's, being here too, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for all your work, Lynn. Your reputation is very good for the work you're doing in the field. No, I'm serious. Like she's known in the field for her practice. It says she's you know, doing great work. And I agree, like that. Our story, our humanity, that's our common bond, right? And yeah. and if we can form those bonds, you know, people will die in the trenches for each other, right? If you feel like that's your comrade. And, you know, you could put all the money in the world in a lobbyist against that and the common bond, like that'll always win the day.
Here, here. All right. Did we have any other questions on Zoom?
Yes, we have two questions on Zoom. First up is Lori. Lori, you may unmute.
Hello, Lori.
Hi, Tim. It's really nice to hear you and to have you here with the CCB today. I wanted to comment that I think NFB just has a huge number of resources. I read Newsline every day. And then many years ago when I was looking for a job, used to have, I don't know if you still have it, and I think it was via phone at the time, job listings from all over the country. And I mean, I applied for a lot of those jobs and read about, you know, all of them. And that was a great resource. And then there was something that you had regarding volunteerism. And I think it was a webinar maybe, but it was a long time ago. But, you know, you always had this, NFB always has this sense of trying to kind of really get people involved and engaged in the community. And I really respect that. And my last comment is, I can remember 65 years ago being a very little girl and my mom, who was a sighted person, reading the Braille monitor. So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think, you know, we try. And I will say, though, it's so easy for one person to misrepresent the philosophy or the organization. Like, so if someone has encountered, you know, a really aggressive Federationist or someone who was very judgmental or I mean, it happens. I get it. I've seen it. I don't think that's who we are as an organization. I don't think it's who we should be. People need to be accepted for where they are and certainly challenged and given high expectations, but you know, we have to be careful not to judge and put down on our own. So
and that goes both ways.
But right? Yeah, but yes.
And we have one other question in Zoom ending 199.
Hello, everyone. This is Debbie Cordero. I'm enjoying this conversation, so I appreciate everyone giving of their time. That being said, I kind of wanted to rewind a little bit about, you know, continuing the great work everyone's done for the blind community. The younger generation, it was interesting, earlier last week, there was a survey done on a lot of these young folks. They were specifically looking at 15-year-olds, you know, they don't want to drive a car anymore, you know, because their devices bring everything to them. And, you know, they're not out there, you know, face-to-face, you know, learning how to communicate with different types of entities and different settings and experiencing emotions, happy or sad. You know, I like the idea someone said about YouTube, you know, because with YouTube versus chatting, you're able to put within your voice whatever it is you're trying to relate out there, the message you're trying to pass on. And I like that idea of getting in front of, you know, the next group coming up to help us continue all the great things that CCB and NFB have done. And like Mitch said earlier, you know, it's hard to get folks to join these different entities out there within the community, you know? So I like the idea of the YouTube platform. I know a lot of these younger folks are with their devices or scanning through what have you to see what pops and gets their attention. And I think within the organization, we have some great folks that have great voices, you know, that have great ideas. And, you know, it isn't so much about how many, you know, numbers are looking at you. You know, once somebody starts a good message and a good delivery, you know, maybe there's something we could do with getting these younger folks excited. But I like that YouTube platform because we are losing a lot of these young folks. It's all about everything coming to them and somebody else doing the work. Not all of them. There's some great, great folks out there. But like I said, just that little survey that came out last week about, you know, 15-year-olds not just not wanting to learn how to drive because everything comes to them through their devices, but they touched on other things. So, yeah, we need to help our world, you know, get these young kids excited to come out and, you know, do great things. Thank you.
Yeah. And it raises some other questions too on like for the next generation, because we have put a lot of laws in place that the previous generation didn't have. So the previous generation had to work a lot harder to get things right. They experienced that harsh discrimination in a way that the younger generation will get to avoid. But that also builds a lot of resiliency and fight. And so how do we, on one hand, challenge the younger generation so they build that same set of resiliency and independence and problem-solving skills, but at the same time, avoid the discrimination that often, you know, can push you to rise above it. So it's, I don't have the answer, but if we go in the wrong direction, we risk sort of, you know, coddling and creating a generation that won't be able to survive in the real employment world. So
but if we continue having discussions like what we're having today, then hopefully we can all work together to try to find that answer.
Exactly.
These
are tough problems.
So I think we have maybe time for one more question here. Is there somebody in the room with another question?
Tim wants to know when 80s night is going to start.
Right after the banquet. Right after the banquet. Believe that. You have to attend the banquet in order to go to 80s night.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, I don't
know.
Is there another question?
Yes.
All right.
This is Kathy Schmidt Whitaker.
Yes, Kathy,
and,
hello.
Appreciate Gabe and Tim both being here, as well as Gabe being able to attend the NFB convention as well. And talking about collaboration and commonality and ways to work together is really exciting, and continuing that process. Also talking about the next generation, getting them involved and engaged. Sometimes there is some young individuals who don't want to get involved in either organization because they've heard things in the past or they're not sure. I'm curious if there's a way that, because we all have this, some situations, that there could be a collaborative leadership program focused for the young folks, and that it focus on leadership development, skill development, advocacy within themselves internally, because you need to feel good about yourself and confident in order to be able to advocate. And then by focusing on that and having a collaborative effort, there creates the space to be able to say people who are blind have commonalities and similarities, and then they can go beyond that and they'll learn and recognize the philosophies may be different between the two organizations, and it's okay. There's ways to be able to support that in both, and there's a fit, and it's everybody has different fit with different organizations, and that's okay. But creating space to allow that to be the case and for people to appreciate that, I think would go a long way in terms of getting some individuals to at least even engage in finding out more about us, as well as helping our organizations develop the pipeline of individuals who are the next generation.
Yeah, we've talked about putting something on together, and that, at least for me, I think that's something that we could definitely, I'd be happy to take a look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's more, we can do. There's things we can focus on the younger generation. I think, it's interesting that everyone talks about philosophy, that philosophy also evolves over time, right? Like we adapt.
It's so philosophical.
Right. We the world's changing. It doesn't just stay one way. And there are things that are sort of universal, and history keeps repeating itself. If we don't learn, we will do those same mistakes. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to, and I think, again, if we focus on the substance, like that's what people care about. If we get too arrogant with our structure and the pomp and circumstance of our organization and our titles, it's like people don't want that. People want to just focus on it, on
get stuff done.
Let's get stuff done. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we have one more question? Right here.
Hey, Gabe, it's Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
I actually have a comment, especially when it comes to the young adults and the youth. It's a generation totally different from, where, at least where I've been from. But, they can't, they're shy away. But one couple of the things that I've heard from youth in general is if they're in mainstream school and they're low vision, what they deny themselves those rights because they don't want to be different, right?
Right.
Or they're going to put them in special ed, and they're going to fight that tooth and nail unless they have a very involved parent. They'd rather get poor grades than be identified or even using a cane, even though they need the cane. So it's about that self-awareness and that maturity within themselves. And I think, I don't think it's a matter of, that we're not really, we could do better, reaching out to them. But it seems to me it's like a generation of what's in it for me? Why should I?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So being able to get to the root of these conversations with these younger adults and really listening to them and I don't have the magic words or, you know, the solutions, but it's not always, it's about the individuals, like, you know, that we're always working with, individuals, different personalities, and having our youths that have gone through that, and they're still young adults, but they're hungry for leadership, and then bringing in their own generation and helping in that manner. I think we could build from that. And that's just kind of what I'm seeing in the neighborhoods and the conversations of today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good comment. Right.
Thanks, Jamie. You know, and the thing about you know, not using canes, not wanting to be different, I don't think that's just a generational thing with, say, the young folks now. I can tell you, I never folded up my cane and kept it in my backpack when I was in school. You know, I never walked into something because I couldn't see it. Right. And if you believe that, then I'll sell you a bridge somewhere. it's stuff that I think every generation deals with, but yeah, I think at this point, I think, we are probably out of time. So, cause we want to give folks a chance to get out of here, stretch their legs and, get ready for the
banquet time
for tonight. So, before I hand it back over to Steve, Tim, I do want to thank you, sir, for being here and for having this conversation with me today. It's been great.
Thank you for having me.
And Steve and Rob, I'll pass it back to you guys to close us out.
All right. Tim? Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Tim. It was a great session. And we're going to take a break. We're at the end of this session, but we will be back on the air tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific time on ACB Media 8 and Zoom with our banquet. And for those of you here in person, happy hour starts an hour before that. And, of course, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, we'll have our annual CCB business meeting, again on ACB Media and Zoom and here in person. Thank you all, and we'll be back then.